God's word for our consideration this morning. God's word to feed us. God's word to nourish us. God's word to be in and through our lives each waking day is from the gospel lesson. And I'll reread a portion of that lesson from Mark chapter 9. And this is Jesus. They came to Capernaum. When he was in the house, he asked them, "What were you arguing about on the road?" And you see, here is a dilution from some of the translations, which said this morning, "What were you discussing?" Here, more poignantly, "What were you arguing about on the road?" But they kept quiet, because on the way they had argued about who was the greatest. Sitting down, Jesus called the 12 and said, "If anyone wants to be first, he must be the very last and servant of all." He took a little child and had him stand among them. Taking him in his arms, he said to them, "Whoever welcomes one of these little children in my name welcomes me, and whoever welcomes me does not welcome me, but the one who sent me." So far, God's word for our consideration this morning. I want you to think about it. I want you to think about who's the greatest. We have all this talk in our world today about the word GOAT, greatest of all time. When you think about that, I want you to think about this individual. His name is Horville, Horville Sash. And he's written about in Sojourners by Doug Peterson and John Broughton in The Greatest Wonder of All. Now, Horville, we can probably put ourselves in Horville's place. Horville was a gopher. He worked in a big corporation, but he worked in the basement. And day after day after day, he worked in the basement. Day after day after day, he did jobs that no one else wanted to do. Day after day, he was pointed in the way to go. Horrible, do this. Horrible, do that. And one day, he was just a little bit frustrated and tired, and he saw this bug scurrying along the floor. He was so frustrated, he was going to squash that bug. He lifted up his boot to squash it. And all of a sudden he heard, don't, spare me, I'll give whatever you want. Horrible thought, gee, I'd like to be on the second floor. Well, the next day, Horrible marched into that corporation in this shiny suit, his tie just groomed all of a sudden, and he went into the second floor like MacArthur and Patton all rolled up into one. And wouldn't you know, after a while, Horrible heard footsteps above. And he called his bug. And he said, "I wish to be above everyone." So it came day after day, the 20th, the 50th, the 70th floor, and here's Horrible. He's in this plush office, and he's just thinking, how great am I? All of a sudden, he sees a door off to the right. So he goes through that door, and he climbs up to the roof, because there was another floor above him. And as he was turning to go back to his plush office, Horrible saw this little boy, copy boy, just like what he was, eons ago, the gopher, sitting there, bowing his head and folding his hands. And he said to him, "What are you doing?" He says, "I'm praying." "Who are you praying to?" "Well, God, up there." Horrible panicked. There was something else above him. So he rushed back to his office, he called his bug up into his office, and he said, "I want to have a job that God would have if he were here on earth." The next day, Horrible was a gopher. in this. I want you to think about that. I want you to think about what our world has turned into. We have that goal, the greatest of all time. You got to be the greatest passer in football. You got to be the greatest hockey player in hockey to earn all the big bucks and be the greatest of all time. You got to be that in basketball. You got to be that in any kind of job. The best teacher, the best pastor, the best orator, the best person ever. And it's gripped our lives. We're just like the disciples. See, those disciples had sat down with Jesus. Those disciples were taught by Jesus. Those disciples heard the words. The scribes, the Pharisees are going to come and take me and kill me. But on the third day, I'm going to rise. They didn't hear that. They only heard, yes, I want to be first. I want to be the greatest. I want to be the greatest disciple. I want to be the greatest person. That's what they were arguing about. Who was the greatest disciple? Was it carrying the money bags? Well, Judas had that kind of skill before he turned Jesus in. Got to be the greatest. Got to be the greatest of all time. So as we examine ourselves, what does greatness mean? To some, it's having the biggest SUV in the world. I'll plow through anything. You watch the commercials on TV. You gotta have the best technological vehicle around with all the gadgets available. You gotta have that to be great. You gotta have the mansion, the $10.5 million mansion that's going on sale for a paltry $5 million. You gotta have it. It's got 500 bedrooms and 1,000 bathrooms. Oh, that's what our world is. And we fall into that trap. Each and every one of us. Because we are sinners. Because we're exactly what Paul writes about to the Romans. That for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. In our sin, we want to be great. We want to be best. I wanted to be the best hockey player. And when I played Bantams, and we had a team meeting, we had no goalie. I raised my hand. I said, I'll be goalie. I'll be the great goalie. And we had a hockey day where all the teams played, amateur teams, and then UMD played after us. Or the high school, and then UMD played after us in the old curling club. And my picture was in the paper. I was the greatest goalie alive who was laying on the ice. Prone. I'll tell you, that sure made me humble. But you see, we want to be the greatest, just like the disciples. We need a turnaround. We need to be reminded of who we really are. That we are sinners in need of God's grace. Sinners in need of God's forgiveness. And sinners in need of God taking us and turning us completely around. And focusing our eyes not on ourselves, but on Him. Focusing on the God of grace, the God who created us, the God who packed all of those neat little organs into our body. That's the God of all grace. That's the God that God wants us to worship. God wants us to look to. God doesn't want us to be the goat, greatest of all time. He wants us to be his redeemed sinner in Jesus Christ, who has this turnaround. Because it is time for our lives to turn around. It's time for a renewal. It's time for a regeneration. It's time that we turn away from ourselves and unto God himself and his word. His word is very plain. Those who want to be first must be last and servant of all. It reminded me of Jesus in the upper room with his disciples. They're all around the table, and who gets up? Jesus. And he takes the towel with which he was girded. He takes a bowl of water, and he goes with each disciple, and he washes their feet. He becomes the servant of the disciples. He gives us power and strength. Paul, through the Philippians, said, I can do all things through him who gives me strength. We can do all things. We can proclaim Jesus as my Lord and Savior. We can proclaim him who gave his life for me. And to live in a different life. One of my favorite verses is Galatians 2, verse 20. For I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but I live by the faith in Jesus, who loved me and gave himself up for me. It's an amazing kind of verse because it centers us right on Christ, who Christ is, and what Christ did, and that he uses each and every one of us to live sacrificial lives. He doesn't want us to go out and get killed for him. That may happen. We may have to be martyrs sometime in our life. The way the world is going, the way the world is turning against Christians. But it hasn't happened yet. But God wants us to live sacrificial lives, which means giving of ourselves. Giving of ourselves to teach. Giving of ourselves to witness. Giving of ourselves to help. Giving of ourselves to serve our neighbor and to help them. It's an amazing thing on our block in Lake City. When we moved there, I had, and I still do, I have this little Toro push snowblower. Snow thrower. And because of someone dear and near to me, I'm not going to mention names, but I wasn't allowed to have a snowmobile in the family. That is another story. But anyway, so my fun in the winter is going out and blowing snow from our neighbors. And it's just a thing, a fun thing to do in the winter. And one day I was out blowing snow, and I would go up the block, because we got a city block, we got a shovel anyway. I went up the block, and here comes this gal out of the house, the last house, and she wasn't dressed for 20 below, let me tell you. And she had this $20 bill, and she crammed it into my hand. She says, take this, thank you. I said, we don't want it. She said, take it and use it for gas. And she goes back in the house. But now there's three of us that compete. And if I don't get out there early enough, our walk is all plowed or all plowed. But you see, this is what God wants us to do. God wants us to help others in the name of Jesus. In his, by his power, by his strength, by the power of the Holy Spirit, we are empowered to live those lives that are meaningful, those lives that lift Jesus up people's lives that center on Jesus. Horville wanted to be, he wanted to be chief. He wanted to be over everything. And when he couldn't, he panicked. And he said to the bug, "My God, or I want a job just as God would have when he came here to the earth." And Horrible became the gopher. We are not gophers. We are those servants. We are last, but we're also servants of Christ. In Christ's holy name, amen.